Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum pre-Halloween show, but we'll be post-Halloween when you guys hear us. We are doing this on an odd Friday night just for the fun of it because, well, Kane and I plan on going out and getting in trouble this weekend.
Yeah, I like the fact that we can be honest with the listeners. Yes, we're going out for some chaos and mayhem Saturday night, so we may not be in the best conditions come Sunday.
Yeah, so if you guys do see us, say hi, we'll be more than happy to, hang out with you.
Some of us will be in costume and some of us won't be.
Yeah, cool. Some of us will not be.
Oh, maybe I'll bring Michael Wig or something.
Yeah, I do have my Joker mask I wore last year, 2 years ago when we did a Halloween podcast.
Yeah, just do that. I got a wig. I got so many cosplay costumes.
I've been so out of dressing up. It's,
I haven't been out in like 3 years in Halloween. And remember how I told you I collected all these costumes, but I couldn't go anywhere with them. So I still have them in the closet and I try them on like yearly, but I don't use them. So this year, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to use them. So it'll be the first year I'm going to use them. So check it out.
You never know. Yeah, you never know. Yeah, well, might get some pictures posted on Heroes, depending on who's there. We always have a few of our friends that like to post when we go out and throw it on the page just for the fun of it.
Yes, they do.
So make sure you guys do check that out. Get on to Heroes Asylum Facebook page and check out what we have going on all week long. It's been all nothing but Halloween on Facebook page about, I think our Titan Tuesday was Chucky, and we had, Vampire for Women Crush Wednesday. It's just been nothing but horror all week. So, because
you had that cool battle royal on Friday, which you're like, who would win between Michael, Jason? And I'm like, dude, that's a tough list. I chose Freddy because Freddy is like supernatural.
Yeah, I almost went just two people, but then I was like, no, I want to have them all. I want to have a party.
It was cool. I liked it. I was like a battle royal of horror. I dug it. I was like, shit. I was like, who's gonna win this? I'm like, well, he could take out this guy, then Jason could take out that guy, but I don't know. Michael and Jason kind of cancel each other out. And then Leatherface is just an idiot, so...
Yeah. I had to throw him in there just for the fun of it.
I know. I was like, Leatherface!
So, we've seen Dune. We talked about Dune last week, and we weren't sure what was going on, but finally we saw news that they are definitely doing a Dune Part 2. Mm-hmm. News came out this week that Denis Villeneuve will be completing the sci-fi series. Now, my understanding is this is a three-parter. But right now, it's two has been announced, and I'm completely fine with that. We talked about it last week. I think they're taking their time. They're letting the story grow and breathe, and it doesn't feel so rushed like the like the 80s version did.
Well, that's the 80s. Everything was pretty much rush, 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 and go, go, go. And like we said last week, I enjoyed the world building in this. That was my favorite part about it. I like that, we didn't get to see, like, if you're a Momoa fan or Oscar Isaac's fan, you're probably mad because, spoilers, stuff happens to them. But I like the world building, man. I like to understand what the spices and the sandworms are all about and the different houses and the emperor. And, he's like a shadow and the baron and the families. I dug all that stuff. I love world building. You know me, Mike. Yeah. I love world building.
Yeah, there were a few characters that we didn't get to see. Definitely we didn't get enough to see Zendaya's character, Chinny. But also, everybody was like, well, where's the character that Sting played? Well, he wasn't introduced yet. So that's what we're looking forward to see who will be cast for that role.
He wasn't he like a rogue pirate or something?
He was part of the the Baron's group.
Okay, he's part of that family.
Yeah.
I wonder if they would bring Sting back.
No, they gotta find somebody else. But I can't wait to see who they pull out to say, that's that, especially because that was such an iconic character. When you really look at it, you look at Paul, you look at Sting's guy, there's always that iconic scene, or character, and he was definitely pulled that off.
I wonder who they would bring in out of curiosity. I mean, it's just an actor, in a certain role, and it doesn't really matter, but I'm just kind of curious, do they go big? Do they go independent?
I would hope they would kind of go mid-ground, somebody that's familiar, but nobody that's going to overpower it with his other characters. But again, you look at the cast that they have right now, all those people have great roles that they've done, but it didn't like overpower the characters that they were playing and the roles that they were playing in this. So
no, they all knew their roles. To quote The Rock, they knew their roles and they played it well. Like nobody overshadowed anybody, even though I guess technically Timothée Chalamet is the main antagonist of this film and the series. But even him, he wasn't the big overshadowing character in this first film. It was more about the world and what we're going through, and this is where we're headed. Like, literally, I'm not going to spoil it for you, but the ending of this film directly should lead to the second one, where they're going. I mean, literally, it says it. So,
and it's funny. There's been a lot of kickback about, you know, another white, super, a hero-esque type character. Guys, read the book. It's not what you think. He's your Luke Skywalker, you know, the hero's journey, white guy doing it. But really, when you read the book and you get deep into the book, what you find out that man goes through and what eventually ends up happening to him.
It's not what you think. Like Luke Skywalker says, this is not going to go the way you think. So.
Yeah. So what you got, man?
What did you think about the Witcher trailer that came out this week? It's like the first official trailer that Netflix threw out.
Oh, I loved it, man. Anything Witcher. I'm sorry, man. Everything they've done with Witcher has been great. I've never been a big fan of the games. I've played them, but just never.
Or either have I.
Nothing that's really like, oh, man, I got to play this again. Like, with me, like, I've literally played the Star Trek, the Force Unleashed. I have played it, beat it, deleted it, put it back in because I just love the gameplay so much.
It's an easy game just to follow and to do. Like, yeah, with The Witcher 3, when I bought it for my system, I thought it was just too mundane and too, like, everything was just too, you know how you have a game where everything is just too realistic and you're not having fun doing it? That's kind of what The Witcher 3 was for me. And then when I saw the series, I was like, oh, this is fun. This is the game I wanted. Yeah. It's kind of weird. Like, you got the role reversals. Like, wait a minute. It's supposed to be the game is funner than the show, not the other way around.
Me being a reader, I've read a few of the books, and I've loved the books. They're very strange books because the author is actually Polish. And the original Witcher books were written in Polish.
Oh, okay.
So they were translated to English. So sometimes the translation's a little weird when you're reading it. But yeah, they're a great book series to read. Not thick at all. I think a total of 7 books, if you count. There's a couple of prequel kind of books. But they're not that big at all. I mean, you're probably maybe talking around like 400 pages.
That's not bad.
No, they're not bad at all to read. And if you just get past kind of like the weird translation, it's really good, and just the story and the world just opens up even more. If you love the series, I'd definitely check out those.
Yeah, and the trailer looked dope too. Looked great. Like Henry Cavill, as you know, you're a big Cavill guy.
Anything to see Cavill, I'm happy with too.
But it's just like another role that, to me, like Gerard was like, you know, and I'm basing it on the games. I've never read the book, so I don't know. That's what I'm judging it at. Gerard was basically, to me, kind of like, you know, an older kind of like a guy like wandering around doing his thing. And the way Cavill plays him, he's like, he is that character, but I don't know, there's just something about him. It's just something about an actor that brings something to the performance in a character that adds maybe a little spice, no quote intended, no pun intended. But I love his portrayal, and I think he's just making Gerard his, like he made Clark Kent Superman his. And I'm glad for him, man, because it doesn't appear he's going to be back in the DC universe anytime soon, which is a tragedy, but he's got a good old Gerard to lump onto, and hopefully he'll keep carrying those Netflix series for at least a couple of years. Maybe a movie, who knows?
Yeah, let's hope. Yeah, I mean, there's still a lot of work for him to do. And then again, I'm on that fence with him sticking around because in the DC world, I hope they find something for him to do. You know, just a. Something, just even if it's little cameos, I think I'd be happy with that.
Yeah, I wouldn't even mind that, like a cameo in Shazam, maybe a cameo in Black Adam, maybe have that fight like they've been talking about for the longest time. Just do it that way. I mean, at this point, it doesn't appear like Warner Brothers Films is interested in doing a Superman film.
Well, that's, if not a Superman film, let him just still be in the world. I'd be completely happy with that. And the fact that he's there, so then when they finally do decide to pull the trigger, he's there, he's ready to go. You know, keep using him. Maybe not use them in a big fashion. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when the time comes and they're like, hey, we want to kind of do something more with Superman, he's there. He's ready to go. And he's got the suit fitted for him, ready, you know.
Yeah, ready to rock and roll.
So question for you. I know you've been a big fan. You've been loving it all year long, or not all year long, so all season long so far. But, you know, we've been talking about the last couple of shows of the Doom Patrol. And did you see Brandon Fraser's been cast for another comic book character?
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think about him coming in for Batgirl as a villain, an unnamed villain? And who do you think it might be?
Well, they already named him.
Did they? I didn't see your article. They said he was still unnamed.
Yeah. No, they named him already. It's Firefly.
Is he going to be Firefly?
He's going to be Firefly.
All right.
I think it's dope. I mean, I love Brendan. I mean, you love Brendan Fraser as Robot Man on Doom Patrol. He's phenomenal. I saw this past week's episode. I won't spoil it, but there's a meeting that happens between Robot Man and somebody else of his stature and height. I'll just say that, and it's a pretty interesting scene. But it's funny. Older Brendan Fraser, I think, is a lot funnier than younger Brendan Fraser, if that makes sense, and his sensibilities to rock a character like that, because on the surface, let's be honest, Robot Man is a stupid character. Very, very dumb. You know, I've fun with the comics I've read on Doom Patrol. But actually, Brendan Fraser has given him, he's given him a little heart. He's given him something, given him purpose. It's like, okay, he's not just a guy wearing a giant metal suit and leather jacket. He actually has feelings. He actually has, there's something going on with that guy. He's traumatized by what he's been through. And you can see that in the first two seasons. And like season three, he's leveling off a little bit. He's going through some other stuff, but you know, I love it. And especially as Firefly. I mean, I think the last time we saw a live action Firefly wasn't that Gotham TV show with the girl playing her, and which, you know,
it started off with her dad and then it drifted over to, yeah, to her. Which, so,
you know, depending, you know, your preferences, you know, yeah, you're nay. I thought it was okay. But I think this time we're going to actually have Garfield Lenz in a proper light as being like a badass villain. If you ever played Arkham Origins, I think you did. You're one of the bosses you face in that awesome. Awesome. If you've never played Arkham Origins, first of all, play it. But there is actually a boss level with Firefly, and you fight him like on the Brooklyn Bridge. And it's like a literally a 20-minute battle you're facing him. And if you can have something like that, like make the Firefly like a terrifying villain, which I think they'll do.
Yeah.
And Brendan Fraser, he can do that. He's got the chops to do it. So.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I'm all on board for it.
Yeah. It should be pretty dope. I guess I'm next. What did you think? Okay, DC. I'm sorry. I was going to go with something else, but I'm going to go with this one. DC celebrates Batman Rogues with Gotham City Villains anniversary issue. It's coming out at the end of next month, but DC has shared its first details on the Gotham City Villains anniversary giant number one, which gives the Dark Knight's Rogue Gallery the spotlight it deserves. What do you think about this, Mike?
That sounds interesting. I mean, I don't know. They've gotten a lot of spotlights. They act like they've never gotten a spotlight before.
Yeah.
It's the spotlight they deserve. They've gotten spotlights. They've had specials like this before. It's nothing outrageous they're doing. This is just recently. Now they're getting it. I mean, it's cool, I guess. You know, I'm kind of getting Batmaned out, so to speak. I know, I understand that he's their moneymaker on DC, but there's other ones that could spend a little bit more time.
Yeah, like his Bat Family. How about those guys? I mean, like, we're seeing like Joker movies, and we're talking about Two-Face Joker movies and all that stuff, and like we want to get the villains to like. How about the Bat Family? How about giving them their due? Like, when is that going to happen? Like a Nightwing movie should have been made 100 years ago.
Well, I mean, we just got done talking about a Batgirl movie. So, I mean, you definitely have that.
I mean, they're doing it now, but I'm just saying it should have been done a long time ago.
Yeah,
It's like they're like, oh, we love Batman. I love Batman, too. But, my God, he has cool, like, side characters. The Red Hood, Nightwing, God, Robins. Any of the Robins you could do. Spoiler is another one you could do. Jesus. I mean, they had that Alfred series.
I mean, you've got Teen Titans going on. I mean, it's the Bat family's getting love. I'm talking the Bat world in general, just kind of getting burnt out again. It's crammed in our face. I understand you're the mark for it, so you're gonna love give me more and more and more. I just want to see some other stuff. Again,
I agree.
It's just so much Batman.
I agree. That's like you said before, it's their moneymaker, and they're gonna keep throwing them out there, no matter what they have to do to get them out there. So. But yeah, it's almost like I said, like the Joker. I'm kind of exhausted of the Joker at this point. Like, in my opinion, DC should just put the Joker away for a while. Like, I actually have a scene where they kill him off and don't bring him back for like maybe 10 years. So I'm tired of the Joker. Everything is Joker, 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 Joker. I'm like, okay, man, we know who he is. Chaos. Like three Jokers, five Jokers, two Jokers. We got a Joker movie, Joker animated series. Joker's everywhere. He's almost like Batman now.
Yeah.
It's like I'm Jokered out.
Well, yeah. I mean, you have the new ongoing Joker series. You know that's a big deal too. I mean, that's I'm surprised it's still going. But
like I said, do you think he's up there now as far as moneymakers go? Like
who, Joker?
Yeah, he's got to be up there. Like. I mean, we've talked about Batman on numerous occasions. Like, yeah, he's their moneymaker. He's their moneymaker. But slowly but surely.
I don't think honestly, I don't think he's probably one of the top selling books. I think it's a good selling book, but I don't think it's going to be up there with a Batman, with a Superman, with a Harley Quinn right now. I bet you Harley Quinn will outsell the Joker.
Yeah, I would agree.
You know, Suicide Squad is probably doing really well as also.
I'm just kind of curious because I've seen a lot of Joker stuff out there, and you know, they made the movie a couple of years ago, and he seems to be like on that level now, almost that level.
Well, like I said, I mean, he's got his own series going on right now, his own, you know, a Joker series, which you don't see that often, you know, and it's been going almost a year. The last few comic times I've gone to the comic book store, you know, they'll always have their, you know, their.
Have you read it?
Their highlight. No, I just, I'm too jokered out. I don't even want to try it, you know.
No, as am I. I'm just kind of curious if anybody's read it, because if it's gone on for a year, it must be halfway decent, so they must be doing something.
Trust me, I've seen them put out some shit comic books for more than a year, so I'm not going to put I'm not putting too much
tone, sir. But
yeah, okay. I'm just saying I have seen some shit comic books go on for a lot longer than they should have. And so I'm not going to say, you know, just because it's gone on for a year, this year could be their trial period. They could have said, hey, you know what, for a year, we're going to give it a shot. If it doesn't pan out after a year, we'll cancel it. But I haven't seen it as like, you know, how they'll do it at the comic book stores. They'll give, you know, staff choices. I've never seen that under, you know, when you're walking around, I've never seen that, you know, highlighted as the staff choice.
No, neither have I.
So that's why I'm like, I don't know. How that's doing.
Yeah.
So Hawkeye, you saw Hawkeye dropped a new trailer this week. I believe this will be the final trailer since it's debuting
here within a couple weeks.
Yeah.
A couple weeks. Yeah.
November 24th. So about a month away. But yeah, I think they finally just dropped their final trailer. And it's looking amazing. The cast.
It looks great. I like it. I mean, again, here's one of those series that I didn't ask for, but we're getting. And it looks pretty good. Like, I'm interested. Like, there's a huge following for Kate Bishop, especially in the comic book world, which to be honest, I don't know too much about her. I know a little bit. Like, when I got that Avengers game, I told you about a year ago, and I played and I beat the game. Like, literally a month later, one of the first additional characters was Kate Bishop. Like, it replaced the Hawkeye in that game with that Kate Bishop. Like, really? Yeah. So we don't have Hawkeye in the game, but we have Kate Bishop Hawkeye.
Right.
She must be doing something right.
Well, she's going to be the one called Hawkeye in this, and he's just going to go with, you know, Clinton, probably one of his other ones. But I'm looking at the cast right now. I mean, you're going to have Echo coming in there. You are having Swordman in there. You're having the continuation, because, I mean, there's big, big talks about the Thunderbolts coming down the road, because you're also going to be having Alina back from Black Widow.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
She's been cast in this as well. And the other thing that's been showing up in the trailers, and I don't know how closely you're paying attention to it or not, the villains that are in there. I don't know if you're familiar with the Tracksuit Mafia. If you watch the trailer, you see a bunch of guys walking around in tracksuits all red.
Mm-hmm.
They're members of the Tracksuit Mafia, or they're called Tracksuit Draculas. They're led by Ivan, and Ivan's in there. You can see him. He's got he comes out of the van in one of those scenes, and he's got like a beard on. Well,
oh, really?
Ivan and the Tracksuit Mafia are also tied in with one major New York villain who we've already seen.
Kingpin, right?
Yes. There's a lot of rumors going around that we're seeing the Tracksuit Mafia and Ivan, who worked very closely with. And we already heard from Kevin earlier this year that he is very interested in keeping those characters in that world together.
I think it makes sense.
So I'm not saying that Kingpin will be the main villain, because I think this is all still leading with the Thunderbolts right now. Because again, we talked last week about the some movies coming out from Marvel that we don't have titles for, and they're starting to hint a little bit that the Thunderbolts are going to be one of those, the later ones. But yeah, I think what we're probably going to get him is more of the Thanos. We're gonna call them Thanos cameos, where you just see little glimpses of him and you hear him talking. And like, it'll be hinted to the next series that might be coming down the road.
I would love to see that. Holy shit. Can you imagine seeing like Vincent D'Onofrio at the end and like that? He is. It looks like we got a problem.
Yeah. I'm sure we're going to get, I can never remember her name. The one that's hiring everybody, the one that we saw.
Madam Contessa. Like, yeah. They call her like Madam Hydra. That's her.
Yeah.
Name.
But I don't see her name. I don't see her in the cast list.
You won't. It shows up at the end.
But the fact I saw that Florence Pugh was in here as Elena, that meant a lot to me. I was like, oh, they're pulling her in. I knew we would see her, but I didn't think they would put her in the cast list.
Yeah, I thought that would be something that she would show up and like, oh, my God.
Yeah,
like,
no, but there's talk that she's going to be in there. And then, like I said, the other thing that really got me all giddy was when I saw the Tracksuit Mafia. I'm like, oh, are they coming?
guys, if you don't know who the Tracksuit Mafia is, look, it's a deep, deep Marvel cut. Check them out.
That's why I had to look it up at first. I was like, why do I see everybody wearing the same tracksuits? And then I was like, wait a second. I know there's something tracksuit. I couldn't remember their name because they go by two names. I was like, that's when I had to dig it in. And then I remembered, you know, Kevin talking about about trying to bring them in. I was like, oh, this has got to be, what better way to bring them in? Using an Avenger, but using a earthbound, grounded Avenger.
I wonder if they would hint at Matt Murdock too.
I think Matt's being geared more towards Spider-Man. I think that what they're going to do is they're going to pepper I'm going to go deep on this one. They're going to pepper the Defenders across the rest of the MCU and slowly reintroduce them and say, yes, they are still here. So let's see. And hopefully they'll acknowge that, you know, the Netflix shows are part of canon, you know.
I hope so, because the Netflix show, you know, they tangentially hinted at they were part of that Avengers world too, like the incident they talked about in New York City. So
yeah, the incident, the big green guy,
the guy with the shield. I mean, they never mentioned them by name, but that was like, if you're a smart guy, you could pick up on a little hint, especially when they say big green guy.
Yeah.
See, who's that? It's not the Jolly Green Giant.
Yeah. Well, maybe it is.
Hey, everybody. All right, I guess I go. What do I got here, man? Cowboy Bebop posters. What do you think about Cowboy Bebop? You know anything about Cowboy Bebop?
I love Cowboy Bebop, and I don't want to talk about the posters. I want to talk about the fucking trailer that came out last week that we didn't talk about because we ran out of time.
Yeah, okay, so we won't talk
about the posters. Oh, my God. Well, posters are great, but no, the trailer was awesome. They captured the rhythm of the show. And I've never seen anybody capture anime in live action that much, that rhythmic change and how they adjusted the camera. And oh, it was just beautiful. The trailer. I can't wait to see what they do in the movie.
And I don't know anything about Cowboy Bebop. I'm coming in here. So when I saw that trailer, I was like, what is this? It looks awesome. Because the last couple anime movies that have been like direct adaptations, I thought they were kind of like, let's be honest, kind of like garbagey.
I'd have to say the last one that was really good was Alita. To be honest,
was good. Death Note was garbage. Titan AE.
Yeah. Oh God, Death Note was horrid. God.
Death Note was the only good thing about Death Note was the soundtrack, which I dug, and Willem Dafoe. But other than that, it was awful.
Yeah, that's why if I ever want to watch anything Death Note, I just watch the series. The series captured it as best as they could.
Yeah, the live action movie was supposed. I thought it was going to be more about Light and is the detective name? His name is Light, correct? And then
God, that's best. Lots I've ever heard of.
I was going to say, guys in the chat room, if you can help me out. There's no chat room. I think it's Light and somebody else. Anyway, it's supposed to be like the battle of minds and wits, because he has this book and like this detective, he's like trying to predict every move. It's very cat and mouse.
Yeah,
if I recall the anime, and it was very good. Like in the movie, they try to capture that, but they made the detective like this kind of like germaphobe. It was strange, and like I said, soundtrack was great, but other than that, it was just, I don't know, I just did not like it.
Yeah, again, but yeah, the Cowboy Bebop's, everything I've seen so far, the casting looks amazing. You know, they got John Cho for Spike Spiegel, was kind of like the head of it. Mustafa Shakira for Jet Black, which I thought was a perfect cast. And if you guys have ever seen, is it called Killmongers? Is that what it was called on Sci-Fi? Is this group of like space bounty hunters? Or Killjoy, not Killmonger. Killjoy. If God, you ever saw Killjoy, okay. Killjoy to me was a borderline kind of ripoff of Cowboy Bebop, because it was the concept that there were these three guys, or these two guys and this one girl, traveling around picking up bounties. Mm-hmm. Kind of the same, very, very similar to Cowboy Bebop. Cowboy Bebop, much, 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 much more fun and better in that aspect. But I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. And yeah, like I said, that's something I wish I forgot we didn't talk about it last week.
We had a lot of stuff on our plate last week too. So that's one of the reasons. Yeah. But I'm glad we talked about it this week. And like I said, I'm going as a novice, totally naked. I don't know anything about Cowboy Bebop, but it From what I've seen, the trailer, I'm hooked. Can't wait.
I'll have to find a place where you can watch some at. I think there is a place where you can at least get your toes wet. You don't. I think there's a few seasons. I can't remember how many animated seasons there are.
God, anime seasons go on. You know that. So,
well, yeah, dude. Especially if you drop into something like Voltron or.
I watched the first season of Voltron on Netflix.
The new one,
and I was like, oh, this is pretty good.
Yeah.
But I fell off it, and I was like, yeah, you know, maybe I'll come back to it. And I find out later, 8 seasons.
Oh, yeah, no, it's still going. Yeah, still going.
Holy cow. Like, I'm way behind now.
Yeah. Yeah, I was the same way. I think I watched the first 2 seasons, and just life got in the way. And then when I went back, I was like, crap, man, that's the nice thing with Netflix. They don't have to follow like a seasonal thing. They can, if they want to release 2 seasons in a year, bam. 2 seasons in a year.
Yeah, I got to get back on it because I just found out they just got the team together and they haven't gone to like Princess Allura's castle yet, but there's hints of the road beast and like the prince and all that. Like that hasn't happened yet, but they're just all about the team right now. And Keith is not in the Black Lion, which I really don't understand, but I guess it's a part of a story narrative. And my brother told me in California, he's like, just keep watching.
Yeah, y'all. There's a couple of cool things that they do a little different that I think a lot of diehard Voltron fans didn't like. Like, there's a couple of moments where, like, the Black Lion isn't the center line every time. Like, they allow the Green Lion to be center. What happens is when the Green Lion becomes center, they have a whole new power set.
Really?
Yeah, which I thought was a kind of, I was like, oh, this isn't going to go well with a couple of some old school ones. But the fact that if there was a different center line, they had a whole new power set and ability to do.
Was the space head the same? Or
I
was it
think
different?
It was similar. I can't remember. It's been a while since I've seen any of the shows.
But, dude, actually, that sounds kind of cool. Now I got to get back on it.
Yeah. When that first happened, like I said, I got offended. I'm like, whoa, 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 pump your brakes. What are you doing? And then I was like, oh, okay, this is kind of cool. I like that idea.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Don't spoil anything. But I'm going to ask you this question, and you can respond with a yes or no. Does the Space Voltron show up? You're not going
to
say anything.
No, right? I can't say anything to that one.
Ah, damn! Yeah, sorry. Okay. Now I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, no, definitely watch it. Yeah, it's a fun show. I mean, you just got a chance. You just finally watched Beast Wars, didn't you? Or the Beast? Or is it the Sons?
It was weird because I watched it the wrong way. I actually watched the final season before the season where they actually meet the beasts, because this season when they came, they actually had already met the beasts. I'm like, oh, okay, this is kind of cool. And I think I texted you. I was like, Mike, I was wrong. They actually made the beasts kind of cool. And they did, like the whole Optimus Primal thing in Prime. And you discover, like, man, I don't want to spoil it. How long has this show been out?
It's been out over at least 6 months. I think it came out at the beginning of the year.
I'm going to spoil it. They do like a multiverse thing, which I think is fucking phenomenal. They had this area, like it's called the Dark Space, which they enter the multiverse. And the beginning was with Unicron and like Galvatron, and he's like saying, hey, and Megatron's having these visions, and then Megatron meets the other Megatron from Beast Wars, and then you find out that those, the Maximals and the Predacons, are the future versions of the Transformers. And then like Primal is basically pissed off at Prime. He's like, dude, this is all your fault why all this shit happened. He's like, but why? What did I do? He's like, and he kept saying Nemesis. I'm like, what? And then they showed at the end that freaking Unicron had created Galvatron and Nemesis Prime. I'm like, you know what? My mouth is watering right now. Like, literally, when I finished at 1:30 in the morning, I was like, Mike, they got to make another season now. Please, 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 please.
Yeah.
The whole lead up and the build up to it and the storytelling.
And I love the fact that they cut over to the 86 Transformers. Because you're like, what? Why is Unicron here? I go, dude, just watch it. What they do, just... will blow your mind on how they and it's like they bring in the Netflix series and the 86 Transformers and Beast Wars. I was like, what they do is just beautiful, and they make everybody happy.
And they literally did. And I, you know me, guys, go back in the archives how much I trashed Beast Wars.
You don't have to, just go back 2 weeks ago.
Or go back 2 weeks ago. I have trashed Beast Wars until no end. But like I said, when I saw in this story, I was like, okay. And they actually, their reasoning for being there and their overall arc was kind of cool. And then you find out at the end, like, oh, they went with them. So Primal and Prime are together. Like the two brothers, they never said, like, why their lineages. And I maybe I skipped that part. But
I think it's something they looked over because it got answered in this series. And again, if you just, I know it's tough. I had to do it. I did watch the Beast Wars, and I just had to like choke back the crappy animation. And the story behind it is so good. That's why it's so popular. Is the story, not the animation.
I think if it was done in a different visual, like if somebody could just redo that series different way, I think I would appreciate it more. It's just like the visuals, man. What's
funny though is like you and I both like Prime.
Yeah.
And Prime's almost the same way.
Yeah.
I mean, when you really think of Prime, it's the same style. That's really what it was. I watched Prime and I'm like, okay, I can deal with this. Let me go back and watch Beast Wars because you can watch it on Tubi. And that's when I rewatch it, yeah, because I think all the Transformers are on Tubi.
But it's well done, and like I said, the whole thing with the AllSpark, which I thought was an awful plot device that Michael Bay created, they actually made the AllSpark have legitimacy.
Yeah, this one they let them exist in the same world.
And I was like, what are they gonna do? Because I thought like the AllSpark was gonna be like a ripoff of the Matrix.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. They actually coexisted. I'm like, so the Matrix would lead you to the AllSpark, which creates all these things. And it had like a little shout out to what's his name? Alpha Trion was in there. I was like, you got Alpha Trion in there too? I'm like, where do we see all the primes? And like they didn't show all the primes.
All they saw was a light and voices, and that's all you got.
But I like the nods though. It's cool. Whoever made that series has got to be a big Transformer sweaty. Has to be comics, TV show. He must have watched everything because he literally put all that stuff in that series, and it shows, and it's good. It's not like it's garbage. It's good. Yeah. And you know, honestly, if you've never seen Transformers, watch the first three seasons on Netflix, man. You'll be like, you will love this. Like the story is just so good. And here's another issue before we move on. I didn't like the fact that Optimus Prime had a love interest. I thought she was going to be a throwaway garbage character. She's not a throwaway garbage character. It adds a lot to it. And when you see what happens with Prime at the end, when he finds her body and when he goes back to Cybertron, that's heartbreaking.
Well, he did in the original series. When they go back later on, that you find out the origin of Prime and Alita One. And you know, that's where they got that from, was from the original series that Prime and I can't remember what his name was, but Alita One was his girlfriend and they had this relationship. And he was chosen to become the Prime, and they had to go their separate ways for the good of the species. So that was there. They went a little deeper in this one, but that was always kind of there in the series.
It was kind of like a love story. I didn't know I wanted, but I dug it. It was like it was born out of respect, but then it grew from there. I'm like, this is awesome, and I can't wait to have season four back on. But anyway, we went way off track.
So. Yes, we do. And that's what we do. So what do you think about this? And this is driving me up the wall. Like, I'm like, really, people, it's not even out and we're already getting shit about this. The Eternals is now getting blasted. It's called basically something they call review bombed. And this has happened to movies beforehand. I think it happened to Captain Marvel, where basically people are going on and reviewing it without even seeing it. And they're just bashing it simply because of, and my fingers are up, folks, wokeness. Because they hasn't even been released. It's not coming out till next week. But you're getting you're basically getting like it just given negative reviews all over IMDb, and way too many reviews to be have seen by the pre-watched, you know, the pre-parties and everything. And yeah, it's just it's all coming down to the kind of the LGBTQ representation in the show, in the movie.
I think I posted it on our site, on our Facebook page, and I posted, I think you saw it. I was like, this is somebody else's opinion. That's what they're paid to do. That's their opinion. Your opinion might be totally different. I'm going to give you a little example. I think I talked to you about this maybe a couple of years ago at the bar. Do you recall the movie The Saint with Val Kilmer? Came out in like the early 90s?
Yes.
It was also a very similar thing. The critics lambasted it. All over, like Siskel, oh, this movie is garbage. Like everywhere, Gene Shalit, this is garbage. I'm like, Jesus, you know, man, I don't know. So, but I'm like, you know what? Let me give it a shot. Thoroughly entertained.
Yeah.
A cute movie, cute little romance going on. I loved it. So if you guys are going to go out to watch The Eternals, don't let this negative noise get in your ears. Just go with it. If you love it, you love it. If you don't like it, that's your opinion. And these are other people's opinions.
These aren't reviewers. These are people, like, these are regular everyday people that are going on to IMDb. And like I said, there are too many reviews being posted that they haven't had pre-release like reviews that many done yet.
They got to redo that IMDb site because literally anybody could post it. It's just
that's what it is. It's for the everyday Joe to post their opinion and say give you.
Haters are going to hate, man. Yeah.
I love it. I love this quote, and it got deleted, unfortunately. It was a tweet from Kamal Nanjiani.
Kamanjami.
Yeah, basically he was responding to, because this came from the direct website and about it, and he says it looks like we're upsetting the right people. And then he followed up with Eternals open November 5th. And it's like, so he's like, I guess we're pissing off the right people to get kind of some advertisement. But yeah, I just think it's kind of crazy. And it's really just on IMDb we're seeing this. And this is an area that I've seen a lot because of IMDb. That's why I don't look at IMDb that often, just because of the poisonous nature that I've seen, you know. And it's funny is when I think to Marvel characters and Marvel fandom, I always look at Marvel as the more, as basically, if I'm going to use the term woke, I look at the Marvel universe as being woke since the 70s. I mean, when you think back to their biggest product and biggest property in the 70s was the X-Men. And if you want to talk an open and, you know, free group of people that they accepted everybody, I can't think of anybody other than the X-Men.
Yeah. Were literally created from like an era of bygone, like, you know, the two characters who they're based off of, Professor X and Magneto, Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. I mean, literally you have it right there. And you know, one is welcoming, the other one is against it, but they both are two sides of the same coin. But like you said, they're welcoming to everybody. Professor X, School of Mutants, who do they welcome? There's a sign, and I believe this is the first X-Men movie, might be the first class. It says Professor X, School of Gifted, all are welcome. Yeah. Underneath.
And that's how the X-Men have been always, you know, color, race, and sex never matter with the X-Men. Nope. You know, some of the biggest characters for the X-Men, you know, Iceman, I know didn't he come out gay? That was in like the mid 90s.
Mm-hmm.
None of that mattered, you know, and that's what's so funny is watching the poison of the MCU fan base, not just MCU, but the MCU, you know, the Marvel fan base just come out against things like this. It's like the Eternals is exactly what Stan Lee and his team wrote about, you know, the X-Men and you know, during the 80s, you know, it's just crazy.
Yeah. It's just, a couple of weeks ago, I think we had a discussion about Jonathan Kent, and I think I was texting you about it. I was like, you know, kind of mocking, saying that I, you know, was totally against it, but which I wasn't, because, you know, it's whatever. And he's, they're like, oh, but he's at a stat. I go, dude, it's not Superman. It's Jonathan Kent.
Yeah.
Kent was a boy. He's still growing. Of course he could develop, you know, feelings for a guy. Why not? Because he's still what? He's still growing. When you see Jonathan Kent, where is he? He's a boy. The Super Sons, you talking about that series, him and Damian, buddy, buddy. Why couldn't he grow up and be bisexual?
Yeah. And the funny thing is, everybody goes, oh, he's go after guys. Bisexuals like women too. So you're guys. And again, that's one of those things. I had a conversation with one of our friends on Facebook about Constantine. You know, about them making a female Constantine compared to a male Constantine. And I was like, I honestly think a bisexual woman is easier for the Midwestern white bread 40-year-old guys to wrap their head around compared to a bisexual male. Because in their head, it's like, oh, they're kissing a girl. Yeah. Like I understand that mindset of a guy. And I think, you know, if they're going to go pretty dark and deep with this HBO series, a female bisexual character will be easier for them to swallow. Yes, they did it in Legends, and they did it great with Constantine in Legends, but I don't think they pushed the envelope that I know HBO is going to push.
Yeah, they're going to push the boundaries, not say, man.
And I think that's the best way of doing it, to unfortunately put a little sugar on the medicine, you know, for the middle class or the middle America folks.
Yeah, gotta get your head off your asses, guys. Come on, wake up.
So what you got next?
Well, I got a problem. Big problem. Have you seen this list by Collider? They ranked every live action. Okay, they ranked every live action Bruce Wayne.
Yes.
Now, I take it back. I thought it was every live action Batman. They didn't do that. But it's every live action Bruce Wayne going from the serials to the top. I got a huge issue with it. Huge. But I'm going to start the list and we'll go by quickly. I have it in front of me. It's 12, top 12. So here we go. Number 12 is Lewis Wilson from the 1943 Batman serials, which is, you know, he was okay.
Well, but you got to think back then there was no true Bruce Wayne. There was nothing for him. There's nothing for him to build his character off of.
No, I agree. But, you know, it is what it is.
And honestly, I like that serial. I don't know if you've ever gotten a chance to watch it, but
I've seen the serials. They're pretty good. I mean, they're fun.
I actually used to own them on DVD.
Oh, you got to give me one of them.
I used to.
go find them. Here's a shocker, a number 11. Warren Christie, Batwoman. See, that's a little strange. Because when you did see him in the live-action Batwoman, he wasn't really Bruce Wayne. He was Tommy Elliot praying Bruce Wayne. And then you saw Bruce Wayne for an instant in a flashback with Luke Fox. So him being so, like, I don't think we have had anything with him. I mean, he looks the part. I guess it's, you know, he looks good-looking dude, nice head of hair. But, you know, we haven't seen much of him. So to rank him, you know, low or even on the list at all, I'm kind of shocked.
Yeah.
Yeah, he shouldn't even be up there. But that's Warren Christie. That's number 11. Number 10, Robert Lowry, Batman and Robin, the 1949 serials. I remember those were kind of fun. Here's a shocker, number 9, Ben Affleck.
Not really. I don't agree with it, but it's not a shocker either.
So low,
but
man.
You got to think he didn't play Bruce Wayne that often, that much. What, the dinner scene?
Well, and the gala scene.
That's what I meant, dinner scene, the gala scene. That's it. Mm-hmm. Out of three movies, that's all we got of Bruce Wayne, you know? And I mean, other than the fact that
justly, too, for a couple times.
As Bruce...
Yeah, you did. You got him out of the cowl where he's talking to Alfred.
That's Batman still. You got to remember, Bruce is is his cowl. That is his true costume. We only saw Bruce in, you know, Batman in the Bruce Wayne costume one time, and that was at the gala.
Okay.
Now, that's what I'm saying. That's why it doesn't surprise me, because if we got more of him as Bruce, yeah.
Okay. Number 8, George Clooney. I don't remember that movie. Number 7, Kevin Conroy, Batwoman.
Again, he was Batman. He wasn't Bruce Wayne, sorry.
Yeah, I agree. Number 6, Adam West. He was a lot of Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, a lot, yeah.
Here's a good one for number 5. Ian Glenn, Titans, which basically he's playing Bruce Wayne.
Yeah,
so
he is all Bruce, yeah.
He's all Bruce Wayne, and I that's not Bruce Wayne. Too much of a dick. That's not my Bruce Wayne, but whatever.
Bruce Wayne's a dick.
Freaking dick. Number 4, Michael Keaton, Batman and Batman Returns. I would agree with that because he mostly played Batman, and when he was Bruce Wayne, it was kind of awkward and weird. Number 3, David Manus from Gotham.
Yeah, that surprised me because, again, he's playing a kid. He's not really playing a...
Yeah, he's not really... Yeah.
I mean, I like the guy, so...
I like him, too, but he wasn't really... He was, like, young Bruce.
Yeah,
he wasn't Bruce. Number 2, Val Kilmer, Batman Forever.
I agree with this one.
Yeah.
A lot of folks may hate it because of the movies, but when you talk, there was one thing I don't know if it was you and I talked about or another friend. We actually talked to how, like, Clooney was a better Batman and Kilmer was a better Bruce.
Wayne, yeah.
Yeah.
I would like to see George Clooney in a couple years do Dark Knight Returns. Anyway, number 1, Christian Bale. And I think I would agree with that because he was probably more Bruce than Batman, or actually he probably did about the same, probably half and half, the three trilogies. He had enough time, effort. Yeah. He had his time.
I can't say he was my, I felt he was the best one because Bruce was a philanthropist. And in this one, he wasn't, he overplayed the Playboy millionaire.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't show that philanthropy, you know, kind of side of him.
Nah, not really. He was falling asleep at board meetings. Bruce Wayne's like, yeah, man, I'm going to leave this meeting. He's not like falling asleep. So anyway, that's the list, top 13 of all-time live-action Bruce Wayne portrayals. So,
cool. Cool. So let's see. What do we have going on here?
What you got there, Mr. Jones?
So did you see it? This one's just today got announced. Army of the Dead 2. They are working on it, starting to start shooting. And it's coming out, and it will be titled Planet of the Dead.
Ooh.
Right now, of course, plot, you know, the plot details are very sparse. It will be under Zack Snyder as director. But yeah, we're getting a return of it. And, of course, you know, the last thing we saw is we saw Vanderhoe realizing he'd been bitten by the alpha zombie Zeus. And that's the last place we left it at. So now that I know they're doing a sequel, I'm okay with that final scene. Originally, when I watched this, that you and I had talked about that, it went too long. You know, that it just in that. But now that we know, okay, they definitely are coming back. You know, it's we're going to definitely see that.
I dug it, man. I dug that movie. I thought for what it was, people like lambasted it. I don't know why, because I thought it literally for what it was fine.
Yeah.
Like I dug like the beginning where the alpha zombie escapes and you find out what he does and he just goes to Vegas and he just murders. And then the whole like the different levels of zombies I dug too, that kind of classification. So it, yeah, why not? I mean, you know, if he's not doing Justice League 2, might as well do another, you know, Planet of the Dead.
Well, I mean, and he's got a Netflix deal. It's signed a 2-year deal with Netflix. Obviously the first one was part of it, but he's also going to be doing this one and also a sci-fi movie, Rebel Moon, which they're working on. So yeah, it's the Stone Quarry Productions with Zach, his wife, and Wesley Kohler are they have a 2-year deal with him. So we're definitely going to see, you know, more stuff from Snyder on Netflix. Granted, we wanted to see him on another streaming service, but you know, that's where we're going to see him at instead.
Yeah, you never know. Maybe it's, you know, a couple years passed by, you know, Warner Brothers will give a little knock on this door. Hey, Zach, what are you up to? I mean, it's not good. It's just wishful thinking on my part.
Hey, they better, because I mean, they're fucking making money off of the DVD release right now.
Yeah, they made money off me. I'm just saying, I didn't want to mention it, but, you know, for what Justice League was, you know, some people hated it, some people didn't like it, but I dug it. You know, eventually one of these days, maybe at midnight movies, I'll convince you to do the 4-hour cut, but I don't know if you can stay up that wake. But
I can stay up that late. We just don't have to start it at 10 at night.
No, we're not going to start. We'll probably start like 7:36.
Right? Yeah, you know, people do podcasts like during the day too. It's not a nighttime event, just so you know.
We can do it during the day. Shit, we got Thanksgiving weekend coming up, so maybe I'll get up at 11 o'clock in the morning after some turkey, and we'll do some Justice League.
There you go.
Line, but that's all I got, bud. What else?
Last one I got is a new Paramount chief confirms planning for multiple Star Trek films, including, which I thought this one was interesting, an animated movie. Because they have a year ago they were talking about starting to kind of focus some of their properties for the younger generation, a way to like, you know, hook them in. And because I mean, just like you and me, you and I both have probably the same kind of similar stories. We watch Star Trek, the original series, via a grandparent or a parent, and that got me hooked in for the Next Generation. And then, of course, once I got hooked the Next Generation, it's just been a constant freaking addiction after that. And and of course, you know, they're starting Prodigy, which was actually Prodigy was the one that was originally announced going through Nickelodeon. That's actually launching this week or next week, which I can't wait to see that, because it kind of continues a bit of the Voyager, because it has Janeway included into it, but it's Janeway as like a hologram.
No, that's cool.
Yeah, which will be, yeah, it's kind of a tie into it. I do know there's a lot of folks that are out there. I'm not a big fan of Discovery, but I have a hope that they will continue to do some more things with going forward, especially if they're looking at more movies.
Well, and Discovery, like from what I've seen about a season and a half now, almost done with season one, they play a lot into that mirrorverse, man. They're playing like that's what they're doing. And it's funny because a lot of properties nowadays, overall, they're playing with that multiverse theme. I mean, DC's doing it, Marvel's doing it, Star Trek's doing it. I mean, it's, I don't want to say it's a cop out, but it is a way to correct storylines.
Yeah,
but,
really, is Star Trek really copying out?
No,
didn't they originate it?
They created it. Like, that's what I'm saying. They're not copying anybody else. They originated. The Mirrorverse is theirs. Mm-hmm. Multiverse came from that episode of Mirror Mirror. Like that's all theirs. I'm just saying, but they're doing it as everybody else is doing it. So they're following suit what Star Trek did in the '60s, which is kind of funny. Like a series like that has been around for so long, so iconic. is still being like not ripped off, but like just taking things from that series and in today into everything in culture, series, movies. It's that's still going on. You know, even like the messages we were talking about earlier, like the woke culture and all that stuff. Star Trek. There you go. They were like the heads of the class with that, along with that X-Men comic book. So they were there also. So just a little interesting.
Yeah, but yeah, that's why I can't wait. You know, we did hear about that the announcements for that about 2 years ago, 2019. About we're getting, like we were saying, Prodigy, a new couple of new series. Of course, we are seeing the birth of the Strange New World, which I can't wait to see that. You know, the Pike series before, you know, pre Enterprise or pre Kirk Enterprise. I can't wait to see that. The cast, I love the cast in Discovery. When you get to those episodes where they have those guys in there. And they have Pike in number one, and they're, you'll love those episodes because it's kind of a heavier nostalgia for you.
Pike played by Anson Mount, which I thought, you know, in that awful Injustice movie, he actually did a decent job as Batman. So you know, I'll take a look at it.
Especially when I get there.
But yeah, it's really, really good when they had that. So I'm looking forward to that series. I'm looking forward to any new movies they come out with. I mean, I've been part of the Star Trek universe for so long. Yes, I am tapping out when it comes to Discovery. I've done my time, so to speak, with Discovery, and I think they ended at a good spot. Picard, I'm still going to give it another go. I did like Picard until the very last.
Yeah. I love Picard, but that's stupid. Oh my god!
So till that happened, and then then I loved it again when they at the final scene where it had Riker facing off against Romulans. I'm like, yes.
It's just that in between with Picard, like that was just to me like, couldn't you have done something else? And the way they explained it was so stupid. Like I hate, like I would rather he be just an android then,
yeah,
and kick people's ass. But the way I forgot who said it. He's like, well, you're an android, but you're still weak and old and your heart's still like, what? If you're going to bring him back, like bring him back 100%. Why are you going to make him still sickly? He's going to get old. Like, I don't get it. That's just like that's basically saying, hey, you know what? We messed up. But you know what? He's going to be around for a while.
Yeah.
Like,
I was kind of upset with that. But
do you remember the text I gave you when I sent you? I was mad. I was like, what the hell is this BS?
That's why I'm looking forward to seeing what they're going to do with the next season, especially because they're bringing back Q. So, I mean, there's definitely that nostalgic aspect. And it looks like they're bringing back a lot more characters. So I'm all on board with that. And again, I'm also a huge fan of the animated Lower Decks. I think Lower Decks is so much fun.
Lower Decks is hysterical.
Yeah, if you have to be you don't have to be. It helps if you're a Star Trek sweaty.
Yeah, if you know.
Yeah, because there's some deep cuts that they throw in. You're like, oh.
Yeah, I would say if you watch the OG series of Next Generation, you'd probably be okay. But definitely watch those two because there's a lot of stuff in there. You're like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. So check it out. I'm glad Star Trek is in the move. By the way, it's another hot property that you keep alive. Regardless of what you think about the J.J. Abrams films, I love them. Some old Star Trek fans don't love them, but hey, they're entertaining. So
it's Star Trek for the MTV generation. Basically, it's kind of how it was. You know, that's what it was. It was you know, with The Rock. I mean, you throw in Beastie Boys and anything, I'm all on board for it anyway. So
I love this. I can't wait to be. By the way, we're doing a Star Trek month next year. Just letting you know.
Yeah, we are for our midnight movies. So speaking of midnight movies, guys, this is going to be ending our horror fest. Last week we came out with the American Werewolf in London,
mm-hmm.
And then we have a little ending for the month. Actually, it's going to creep over into November a little bit, but that's fine. We're not gonna. Nobody's gonna be yelling at us about it. But we're gonna end with Jason X with Kane and a guest star. So make sure you guys do check both of those out. We're ending the month with two guests, and make sure you guys do check us out on Heroes Asylum for our weekly show, and check out our Facebook page, guys. We've got a lot of activity going on there, a lot of folks talking and, you know, chatting. So make sure you guys check that out. It's a great community to be a part of, and we hope to see you guys down there.
Yes, we do. We're going to be at KaiserCon. What are the dates, Mike?
You make me do this right now, aren't you? December 9th and 10th, I believe I said. 10th and 11th, sorry.
Yeah, go us out there Friday and Saturday, and check us out our Instagram page at The Heroes Asylum and Twitter at The Heroes Asylum _podcast. And from Mike to me to you, get to the asylum. Happy Halloween, guys.